The Premier's bombshell resignation, a police manhunt, and one of China's biggest cities is broke. It's Tuesday, the 30th of May.
The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
G'day, Matty.
G'day, mate. I'm tired. I'm out of here.
now, yeah. Hang on. Are we talking about Mark McGowan?
Yeah, sorry, Mark McGowan, not me.
It's interesting, right? Because burnout seems to be a bit of a buzz term at the moment. Damien Hardwick said burnout was the issue for him when he pulled the pin as head coach of the Richmond Footy Club. And now Mark McGowan, Premier of WA, has cited burnout as his reason. Exhausted, he said that he was after three decades or so in political life, and a number of which as Premier of WA has gone through COVID, very tough period for everybody, especially for the bloke in charge. What did you make of his announcement yesterday?
I thought it was interesting. I had heard murmurs over time, look, he's had enough. And you can understand after, you know, going through that COVID period, and no matter what you think of him, obviously he made a lot of decisions which people were unhappy about and some people were very happy about. But you can't fault his work ethic. He was just always on. The thing about him as well, he's very much a people person. He'll remember different things about your life, mention them. Like, he would come up to me and, you know, there's so many journalists in WA and would say, how's your daughter Flo going? How's this going? Like, he just had a memory for everything. It makes it sound like he's died. He has not died. His political career may have died. But, you know, he's just one of those people who gave it his all. And so I can understand why, you know, as Premier, as Treasurer, he is knackered after that. And the thing is with burnout, you know, you get to a point where you're just constantly doing the same thing day in, day out, and you need some other purpose. You need something else. And I think that's what's happened here. He's gotten through the COVID period. He's, in his eyes, set up the state. And now he's kind of like, well, I've had enough of doing this same thing day in, day out. He said, you know, I'm not a naturally combative person and every day I'm having debates, every day I'm having arguments over things. You know, that would wear you down.
Here's a question for you, though. So why didn't he just chuck in Treasury? You know what I mean?
Like, well, cut his workload. I think he's just had enough. It's like saying, you know, if I'm tired, why don't I just ditch the West Live? Keep doing what I'm doing. Like, if you're tired and you're exhausted.
It's actually not such a bad idea. I get to sleep in every morning. That's the thing, though, right? Like, that's exactly what I would do.
Imagine if it's like you're feeling a bit, you know, oh, I'll just get rid of reviewing those movies.
But you take
some
stuff off your plate, though, first, though,
well,
don't you?
I think that's what you do first. I think, though, that he has been thinking about this for a while, and I'm sure he would have contemplated, well, should I just get rid of this? But the reality is,
which he took on himself. No one forced him
well,
to take
on
Treasury.
Well, that's true. The reality is that he would have to set up the party for the next election. Yeah. And if he is not going to fight the next election, then there's some point where he has to call it, unless he fights the election, wins it for them, and then leaves, in which case his legacy would be, hang on a minute, you've kind of dudded us.
I feel like I'm a bit of a devil's advocate
here. He needs to give the successor some time.
Yeah, but has he set him up, though? You know
what
I mean?
Well, I mean, like, if they're so far in front.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a gift for the Liberal Party. I don't think it's enough to get them into power, but they will get perhaps closer than they would have if they were up against Mark McGowan.
Well, it's going to depend a lot on who comes next and what they do. So let's talk about that for a minute. Now, Deputy Premier Roger Cook, probably the obvious choice. Obviously, you know, his performance in the health portfolio didn't end well.
No. But wasn't he tired as well? He was tired. That's why he went to tourism.
And he's been rejuvenated. He's happy, he's gone on a holiday. He's gone on a few holidays.
He's had a few trips around the state.
Exactly.
And suddenly
he's gone to see the pandas in Guangzhou, Chengdu, wherever they are.
I mean, that's going to be difficult for him to sell that story to the public. It's like, hang on a minute, you were too tired in health.
Yeah.
And
also,
now
also you
want to take on
Premier. You didn't do a good job of health.
No, and now you want to be the Premier.
Yeah. And so the other option is Rita Saffiotti,
who is not aligned to a party, which makes it difficult.
Yeah.
But I think what's her nickname? 2 meter Rita, because she's always 2 meters away from the Premier.
Yeah, yeah.
I think one of the great qualities of Rita Saffiotti is she can connect with suburbia.
Yeah.
And that is not a put down. That is an absolute skill.
She's a political animal as well.
Totally.
She's always been a very good performer in Parliament. The question is, you know, how's Metronet going?
Well, that's the thing, you know. And Metronet's over budget, but we've got to remember that has a lot to do with the situation at the moment with Labor and
Amber
supplies.
Jade Sanderson.
Amber Jade has her hands full in health and probably hasn't finished the job there yet.
Factionally strong.
Well, yeah. Well, her and Roger Cook are in the same, left faction. So what will happen is the left faction will decide who of those two is going to be put forward.
I can't imagine they'd choose Sanderson. Like, Sanderson, like, I like Amber Jade Sanderson, but I don't know if she has that everyman quality that Safiotti has. Do you know what I mean? You talk about reaching.
I don't think Amber Jade Sanderson has that like Rita Safiotti does. The thing about Roger Cook is he'll be seen as sort of a safe pair of hands, but I don't think he's a political fighter like Rita Safiotti. I can imagine Rita Safiotti fighting the election, and she will be able to fight it with top business people and be able to fight it at the level of your mums and dads at the school sausage sizzle.
I'd do Cook with Safiotti as deputy.
100%. 100%. I would do
the
same.
I think she's a good henchman.
Well, I think the thing is, if you set up Cook and Safiotti, you then set it up for Safiotti to come in afterwards. That's your next line
your next
of succession.
Option.
And
then we'll see how Sanderson goes. And she needs a couple more years, I reckon.
I would like to see her soften up. It's hard.
I agree.
It's hard though, isn't it? Because she's dealing in this health portfolio where there's fights with nurses, there's fights over the placement of hospitals.
She hasn't done a bad job.
No.
She's been very solid.
But the thing is, it's hard to connect with your everyday voter.
And what's going to happen in Rockingham, do you think?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because you've just got, an absolute gift horse there. Yeah. Safe Labor seat.
Parachute someone in.
Who would you parachute in?
Oh, gosh. Well, the way the Labor Party works, it's usually, like a former spin doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
So, look for one of their maybe flat catchers to have a run, because it always comes up through the party machinery with the Labor Party. It's not like the Liberals where they go, let's just, grab a celebrity and try and plonk them into a blue ribbon seat.
Well, you see someone like Reese Whitby, who took a couple of goes but got in there.
Yeah, we'll see. And now police are looking for a 25-year-old who they're hoping they can assist with a number of ongoing investigations into quite serious offences.
Yeah, so detectives from the Special Crime Squad need your help to find this man. 25-year-old Harry Desmond Penny, he was last seen in Girraween last Friday, and police say he's known to frequent the Girraween, Cannington and Belia areas. They say if you see him, do not approach him. Call Crime Stoppers straight away, 1-800-333-000 or crimestoppers.com.au. You can make a report there. But they very much want to get in touch with him over these ongoing investigations.
Yeah, go online and look for his photo and keep an eye out. And now, do you remember Wuhan?
Oh, yes.
How could we forget
Wuhan?
It's kind of faded into the memory a little
bit. COVID put Wuhan on the map, didn't it?
COVID put Wuhan on the map. And so now the largest city in central China is broke. They're broke. And they've publicly demanded...
What, they haven't had an influx of tourism of people wanting to visit the centre of COVID?
I think COVID put them into a bit of a hole. And so because of Xi Jinping's zero COVID policy, all of the enforced lockdowns and the economic impact of those, all of the mandatory testing, all of the other stuff that went along with kind of keeping COVID at a zero level, which didn't actually happen in the end, and then they just did a U-turn on it anyway. So because of all of that, some of those municipal areas in China are spent a total of $18 trillion to make
$18 trillion
to keep zero COVID a thing.
Okay.
And now there's a real estate crash happening in China at the moment as well. So local government relies mostly on land sales for revenue in China, and that's kind of dropped through the floor. So they're not getting the revenue that they used to get. So Wuhan, it's a particularly big problem. And so now they've made this rare move of calling on local companies to pay back money that they owe. So it's like $14 million US in unpaid monies to the council that they're now
Why are they chasing it up now?
Well, because they need it, because they can't.
But why weren't they chasing it up previously?
Well, previously I think they thought, oh, these companies will pay it back, no worries. But now they're like, oh, we can't afford to wait any longer.
Now
and they've actually put a call out to
notices.
The public saying, if you have any information about any of these companies where they keep their assets, just let us know so we can direct the debt collectors. And so it's meaning that in some cities they've actually had to slash medical benefits to seniors. And other vital services, like, I guess, like garbage collections, the other things that councils do.
Surely crazy, the central government comes into play here, don't they? Isn't that how it works over there?
Yeah, well...
it filters down?
Yeah. It's a strange, strange system, that's for sure.
Sport.
Now, where do you stand on Novak Djokovic? You like him? Hate him? Ambivalent?
I'm a little bit ho-hum about him. No, yeah.
I'm over it.
I don't really hate people, but I wouldn't put it as hate. But
you don't love him?
Yeah, no, I like a champion who I can love.
Yeah.
You know, like a Roger Federer.
Yeah.
I like it when the nice guy ends up winning.
I'm with you.
You know,
yeah, he proved the nice guy can win.
Yeah, exactly.
Not Novak Djokovic proved the other thing. Anyway, so he won in the first round of the French Open. He's the third seed, so he's expected to do very well. But it caused controversy after the victory. You know how when they come off the court, the tennis players now, they walk up to the camera with a little Sharpie and they sign the camera? Well, instead of signing the camera, he's written a political message about the unrest that's happening in Kosovo at the moment. Remember Kosovo declared independence from Serbia
that's
in 2008?
I know, right?
And Djokovic is Serbian. And so he's written, Kosovo is the heart of Serbia.
Okay.
Stop the violence. Well, Kosovo people don't think that they're the heart of Serbia. They think they're Kosovo.
They want to be independent.
And then he's come out after the match and said, as a Serb, it hurts me what is happening in Kosovo. Our people have been expelled from the municipalities. I feel a responsibility as a public figure to show support. And then he said, I feel an obligation to show support for our people and all of Serbia. As the son of a man who was born in Kosovo, this is the least I could do. I hear there was a lot of criticism on social media for what I wrote. I don't know if someone will punish me or something like that, but I would do it again.
I feel like it's just his brand to stir the pot, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Wild West.
And I know you love the animal stories in the Wild West. I've got a quick one for you. So a beluga whale.
Oh, my God. I was going to suggest this for this segment today.
This is the best story.
This is perhaps the Wild West story of the year.
So a beluga whale has turned up in Norway, swum its way down the Norwegian coast, and now it's appeared off Sweden's coast. And there's speculation that it's a Russian spy whale.
Yes. Now, this is the point where I had to read the sentence 16 times.
Yeah.
No joke.
Yeah.
It was found with something on it, wasn't it?
A harness that could carry like action camera equipment.
Yeah, like a GoPro.
And it had a brand on it that linked it to St. Petersburg.
Yes. What it had? It had St. Petersburg and a date.
Yeah. And so do you know what the Norwegians have nicknamed this whale?
Yes.
Valdemir.
Yes, which means
in Norwegian, the word for whale is val, and the Valdemir is like Vladimir.
Yeah, so Valdemir. Do you reckon it is?
Well, a whale expert said it could just be hormones that's made him swim a long way off schedule looking for a mate.
That this whale is picking up speed.
Yeah.
This is what they're saying.
Randomly getting faster as he's approaching the Swedish coast. So he's on a mission, but it could just be
a mission to find a female beluga. I mean, I've seen a lot of stories in my time that I've gone, what the? But this has to take the cake. Yeah. The beluga whale, spy whale for Russia.
Yeah. We'll follow it closely. And that's your
we'll
news from
Western Australia for Tuesday,
May 30. And don't forget to subscribe to The West Live on your favourite podcast player. Matty, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Will do. Have a good one, mate.
You've been listening to The West Live with Matt Tinney and Ben O'Shea.
The footy is live and free on 7 and 7 Mate. Saturday arvo, can our Eagles cause the upset of the season against the Magpies? Then Saturday night, it's Bulldogs versus Cats. The footy is here, live and free on 7 and 7 Mate.